Welcome to the BitByte Podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only, and is not financial advice.
A couple episodes ago, I opened with Danger Wolf Robinson, Danger. I think it's probably more appropriate now than it was then.
In the danger zone.
In the danger zone.
Yeah.
I just can't reach those notes up that high.
Right? How's it going, Rick?
It's going good. I'm a little bit glad I didn't buy the Bitcoin since the last episode.
Yeah, we had kind of talked about Bitcoin. I think I was thinking there was still probably going to be like a 20% possible dip down. And we did roll over that 40 mark and we're back in the... Because what was it? What we were right around... Trying to think what
it was. Like
were.
43, 40 some there.
Yeah, it was like
44 maybe.
41, 43 range. It was somewhere in that range bound that we had been kind of stuck in for basically, I don't know, 3 weeks, something like that. It'd been a while. And now we've seen a complete drawdown where we've seen a reduction of 50% basically from the all-time high of 69,000. Nice. And we came back down to 34,576. So,
yeah, it's kind of rough looking at that in the chart.
It is, but at the same time, I mean, you know, and I know really what it is, I mean, this is a fire sale. Depending on how you want to look at it. But I mean, that's really the ultimate way to look at it. I mean, regardless of the big question is whether or not we're going into a crypto winter. Like if we're going into a bear market, like what we've seen before, where it's going to be kind of down for the next 4 years. I don't think we are. I think the cycle could be changing. I don't know for sure. Nobody does know. But I think we do have lengthening cycles and just everything that I go back to, obviously I've only gone through one halving so far. I mean, I guess this is our second one, since I've been in the market and I don't feel that exuberance that we felt in 2017. So I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. But the crypto greed and fear index currently, you know, and this is kind of funny too. We're rated at a 13. And even when you look at this in the past, this is not the lowest that we've been, and not even the lowest that we've been this year. In January 8th of 2022, the Crypto Greed and Fear Index, we were at a 10, and right now we're at a 13. So the sentiment's a little bit better than what it was even on just a few days ago.
So on that index, the lower the number, the worse it is?
Yeah, basically. And it's basically, this is just kind of measuring the sentiment, right?
Okay.
The higher that it gets, the more... You know, what they call the greed is kicking in. So right now we're at a 13. Yesterday we were at a 19. Last week we were at a 23. Last month we were at a 34. We've been in fear now for the past month. Last time it was actually kind of in a... Let's see, the highest that it's been lately was 41, and that was on December 28th. When we hit the highs, let's see. I'm guessing this is probably when we hit the 69,000 nice mark was on November 9th of 2021, and the crypto greed and fear index was at an 84. So we're still, like I said, we're still not even at the lowest that they've ever been. I mean, even like I said, this year we've been at a 10, and 10 is kind of the absolute bottom. I don't know if there's anything lower than 10, and I've never seen it lower than 10. Let's see, max. I'm just curious. No, it actually, so August 20th of August. No, that's still, it was 39 then. I don't know. Come on. Yeah, 39 back then. This is about as low as it gets.
Yeah, so we are actually bottom of the barrel right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were talking about it last episode. I mean, we mentioned that 40,000 in the scheme of things, it's on sale. Mm-hmm. I think.
No, I agree.
At least with the history. And now that it's, you know, 35, it's even, or not even 35, right?
Yeah, it's 34 something. It's 34 something, and it's not even, it's fighting. It's at 34.4. I mean, It's held that. I thought 36 yesterday, because I think it was yesterday we got down to 36. I was like, well, maybe that'll be the floor. Or no, 38 is what I was thinking might have been the floor. But then we've dipped lower. And now we're at 34.5, and it keeps on, it's bounced in there. So, yeah.
I know. I think the real test is, 30. I don't think it's going to want to go below that. But it wouldn't surprise me if it gets a little closer, 31, 32, somewhere in that area here in the next couple of days.
No, for sure. And that is a good possibility. I don't know. So it's so weird because, you got to look at the support levels, and I don't know where they're all at. Before we kind of got going, we were talking this was kind of the bottom right now of where it was back when we saw our drawdown in July. Now, it did go as far down as 28, but we never closed that low. 28, 165.95 is what it shows on TradingView. It never closed that low. So we may see, it may be one of those things where we see a dip down where it'll just wick, but we won't get that closed. There's probably a ton, and I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing there's probably a ton of buying pressure down there. Anybody that can open up a purchase position down at that level, they've probably got their levels marked. They're like, all right, if we're going to go down to 20, or high 20s, I don't even know if it would go down to 20, it's going to wick right back up because there's going to be so much buying that takes place at that level. And really, I tried to look and see if there was anything markets wise that would be the reason for this. And really, the only thing I can see is the interest rates, the Fed and everything else. The threatening of the interest rates coming up.
But I don't know. I think the Federal Reserve needs to raise interest rates, at least for inflation. Inflation is still just one of the number one issues that I think America's facing right now. Well, that and supply chain issues.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So, inflation, we all know it's not transitory. We know that this is... it's insanely high. Just even buying groceries, and then if you're trying to buy the higher goods, like real estate, it's even crazier. So I know they should raise interest rates. I just don't believe them.
We kind of look at that same thing. Because I've got the markets pulled up for the Dow, the Nasdaq, and the S&P, right? And they've all dropped too. Like, the Dow dropped 450 points. The Nasdaq dropped 385. The S&P was down 84. Down
as well.
Yeah. Let's see. Where was gold? Gold is actually down. It's not down a full percent, but it's only down 0.35%. Silver is down 1.5%. The only thing that was up is gas and corn. But even the fear and greed index for the stock market, right? They're at a 43 in fear. And to me, this is just, it looks like a child throwing a tantrum. They're not getting what they want.
Are you talking about the Federal Reserve?
Well, I think it's the markets reacting to the Federal Reserve. Right? Because they've had that constant influx of money coming in, and they want to keep it. So they're like, you know what? We're going to drive these prices down, show them, oh, we can't do it without this. Again, it's the junkie, right? They want their fix. And what does the junkie do?
And then they get withdrawals.
Yep. And so when they're going to go through their withdrawals, they're going to throw a fit. So either they're going to have to normalize to it, or the Fed's going to cater to them.
Or the economy craters. That's going to happen eventually on this cycle. It's inevitable.
Yeah. Well, and the economy itself and the stock markets are two very different things. We know that, right?
Yeah.
Because the stock market, how does it keep on hitting all-time highs when you've got record unemployment and all that other stuff? It's like, no, that's not the economy. That's just what they like to show as the economy.
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. But, interest rates, we kind of looked at that chart for a little bit. It just didn't, in 2017, actually, let me look back 10 years. Before, around the time that Trump took presidency, it was, they raised it actually in December 2016, so after he was elected and before he took office, but they went from 0.41% to 0.66%. And they were stepping it up every once in a while. It went from 0.91 to 1.16, a whole percentage point. It's over one. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it reaches 2% in 2018 and it peaks out at 2.4% roughly in 2019. And of course, after 2020, that's the thing. I think Trump threw a tantrum and they kind of stepped it down a little bit. And then after, you know, the shutdown, that basically just went to 0.05%. So,
yeah. And I mean, and honestly, because we even talked about this before too, if they are going to raise interest rates, they're not going to go to the 8 or 9% that they need to. They're going to do small increments where they're going to go up. They're going to taper that purchasing they've been doing. If they do go up, they're going to be like, oh, it's 1% interest rate now. I mean, that's still ridiculously low interest, right?
Yes. And that's the thing, though. Like, when Reagan took office, they stepped in and they cranked the interest rates up to, like, 18%.
Yep.
You know, that was the peak. And that was to fight inflation. They went to 18% back then. What would we really need to do to stop inflation? We'd probably need to go, like, even higher.
Yeah,
I mean, we're not even willing to do 8.
No, they're not going to do that. Like I said, and when you look at that, too, when you think about that, the Fed was waiting on the numbers to come out for what interest rates did what inflation did in December, right? And it hit 7. They were like, oh, it's not going to be that high. It was higher than what it was before. Because I think before that we had 6, right? Was it what it was in November?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, that's what they recognized, right? And then it was December. Like, they were like, oh, we're waiting for those numbers to come out. And I think they came out this week or earlier this week or last week. I can't remember which, but it hit 7. And of course, they're going to gloss over it. And yeah. I don't know what to think about
that. Kick the can down the road.
Yeah, but basically that's what it's going to come down to. I mean, you see goods going up across the board. I mean, you've got local businesses, right? Small businesses that are having to raise prices across the board on everything because everything is costing more. Meat is going through the roof. So yeah, if you're going to pay more at the restaurant, if you want to eat something, right? They've got to raise prices and they're not doing it to get rich on you. As much as some people want to be like, oh, they're money gouging. No. Everything it costs a shitload more.
Yep. No, it's a signal from the economy that, you know, there's too much money in the system and those competing dollars are driving the prices up.
Well, and the only thing that keeps it from going like super ridiculous is the fact that, and I think you talked about this last time too, was that every other country's doing the same thing. They're all raising, you know, they've all been pumping money into the system.
Yep. So, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, in the global economy, I mean, the dollar is not doing great, but it's, you know, the least worst option, especially in your home currency. You know, if you live somewhere else in the world, you know, there's a good chance that they're even having worse practices.
Yep. And this will be the first time because we've got a little bit of time left within the Bitcoin market this, you know, for the monthly close. We got another week, basically. This will be the first time since, if it closes red, which I'm pretty sure it will, this will be the first time since, what is this, December of 2019, or January, basically, of 2019, that we've gone 6 months of red candles. That's the last time we've had that many red candles. Right now, we're at 3. We haven't had, like, 4 since then. This will be the first time since then that we're going to get a red candle if we close below, basically, it's got to be below 45. So unless we rally like crazy this next week, this will be the 4th red candle in a row for a monthly close. Since then, since December. Ever since then, it's been no more than 3 months.
Wow. Well, that's, I know it's something else. And I think, you know, looking at everything long term, you know, if the fears of rising interest rates, it's going to put a lot of leveraged people in a bind. And I think if they actually do raise interest rates, I mean, it's going to crush every market.
Yeah. No, so, it affects the global economy too, right?
Yes.
So, but
especially all the investors that are, you know, trading in a leveraged position, it's gonna flush a lot of crap out.
But that's the thing, though. Do you think they're really gonna do it? It's gonna come down. I mean, even the political pressure that's gonna come from it as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, looking at Biden, I mean, his poll numbers are through the floor. And granted, I'm in a very conservative area, so maybe my perspective is biased, but I can't see how they're even as high as they say they are.
What are they saying even that his approval rating is at?
33% now. That's like Trump levels, you know? You know, and that was Trump levels in the middle of the pandemic, probably. So, I don't know. And, you know, just with how I look at the media and the polling and all that stuff, they really hated Trump. So they were looking at every excuse to, like, push his numbers down, in my opinion.
No, I agree. I mean, I completely agree.
Whereas, if Biden, they're trying to prop him up. So the support's probably actually lower than what we're seeing.
Right. So yeah. Trump was probably a little bit higher than what we saw. Biden's probably a little bit lower than what we're seeing. There's probably somewhere in between. There's the truth.
Exactly. Now, the only consolation that Biden has is at least his polling numbers are better than Kamala's.
Yeah. That's a scary prospect if that takes place. And I mean, and I don't want to get overly political because I think they're both kind of shit parties, but.
No, they both landed us here. And that's the thing. When the interest rates should have gone up, Trump pitched a fit until they went down.
Part of that, there's so much that goes into play with that too, right? Like, because they want to keep the dollar down, right? You always want your currency to be lower than a lot of the other G7 countries or the major G20 countries, whatever, because that means purchasing with your money is better, right? Like, I mean, it allows more exports, those types of things. But
yeah,
China
allows more exports.
China is ridiculous with it. Even whether, China. I mean, however artificial it may be or whatever the hell they do over there. But I mean, Evergrande's a big play still. There's a lot in the pressure cooker right now.
Yeah.
It's a crazy time. So not that we give financial advice here, right? We're basically here for education and for kind of discussions and entertainment in a way. What are your plans right now with crypto?
You know, I don't know. I was kind of gung-ho to buy even just was it Wednesday that we recorded or Monday?
Mm-hmm. I think it was on Wednesday.
I didn't buy. I was being a lazy bum, and now I'm looking at it and I'm like, dang, you know, is it going to go down even more, or is really now the time to get it? I think, you know, it depending on what the Federal Reserve really does. I mean, they could crush every market for a while if they do actually increase interest rates. So it's just a kind of a conundrum. I mean, are they actually going to do it, or are they just bluffing?
And that's the thing. Like, it's one thing to walk the walk or to talk the talk, but then it's another thing to walk the walk, right? And I don't know. I'm sure Jerome Powell's got to be like the when you look at the economy. I mean, it feels like it's kind of teetering. Like, it feels like we could kind of walk maybe a little bit, but it's a very delicate place right now. So even if they do, I think it'll be like a half a percentage raise, but. At the same time, if all they're doing right now is talking about it and the markets are reacting this way, I don't know what that would do. I don't know if they're going to be like, we can't. We absolutely cannot. They may just hold where they're at.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right. I mean, I think there's a good chance that they're not going to do anything. A higher probability that they're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
But if they do, it's going to crush everything. So, and that's the thing with the... Really, markets shouldn't just be dominated by a monopoly like this, right? Yeah. I mean, the interest rates are so crucial, and just one private bank that's not federal, doesn't reserve anything, controls this.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, well, it's the human element again, right? I mean, because that's the thing. They succumb to pressure. And that was one of the big things that always has drawn me to Bitcoin, right? No matter what the pressure is, no matter what the demand is, the inflation rate of Bitcoin is known. Doesn't matter how much demand goes up, doesn't matter how much it goes down, it stays the same way. I mean, when you see the hash rate back at all-time highs again, like we've talked about before, right? There wasn't a head CEO of Bitcoin that said, hey, let's pull all of our mining out of China and disperse it decentrally throughout the world. The market did it on its own.
Well, China did that, and then the market recovered it, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, but that's the thing, is like there wasn't a CEO saying, hey, we got to move the Bitcoin mining. People did that on their own free will and accord, right?
Yep. And speaking of that, is the hash rate still at the all-time highs?
Let me see if I can pull it up. My computer. So I've got great internet. I don't know if I've told you guys. Hold on one second. Bitcoin hash rate.
I can't type.
So it was, I know that it had, there was a drawdown from something with Kazakhstan, but that was a couple weeks ago. So let's see where it's at right now. January 22nd, 2022.
It's still pretty close to the all-time high.
Yeah,
the 19th was the all-time high. All-time. Yeah, it's at 198.86 on the 19th, and right now it's 197. Tera hash rate.
And then during the drawdown, I mean, it dipped all the way down during that China FUD, whenever China banned everything. It went all the way down to 87.67 exahashes.
Yeah.
And now it's back up above where it was before the previous all-time high.
It's basically 100 higher.
Yep.
More than doubled.
I mean, and that's, like I said, there was nobody that gave like a direction to do that. I mean, people did that on their own. That is the beauty of Bitcoin and the decentralized market and nature of it all. But that's my opinion. This is all just our opinion.
It's all my opinion, but you know, that's the beauty of free markets, truly free markets.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting if we ever get to the point one day where governments are mandating that we mine or whatever. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but that'd be kind of interesting as hell, being like, we've got to make sure our hashing power is strong.
Yep.
I don't know. Yeah, so personally, I'm looking to actually, I'll probably allocate some money to Bitcoin now. I'm probably going to put half of what I plan on purchasing, because I do want to buy at these levels. There's no way I want to pass these prices up. I want to purchase, I'll probably put half in this weekend, and then probably put the other half in maybe next week. Just that way I can, I don't know. I don't know if this is the bottom or not. So I'm just going to kind of ladder it. Right. We'll see.
Yeah. It's probably not a bad plan. Cause, what do you think the closeout price is going to be for them? Or by the next time we record, maybe Monday or Tuesday or whatever.
For the week.
Yeah.
So, and this is really weird, right? Because weekends are always hard because the market never stops, but the weekends, the volume on the weekends is always extremely low because you don't have the big institutional players in the market or anything like that. Whatever happens over the weekend could be absolute bollocks. Like, it couldn't matter. Like, I mean, the thing is whatever the weekly close is going to do. And I want to see something. Let me see if I can see. Let's see this. I got to play around with this more. But if we can get a weekly close, I'm going to say we're going to close the week at, because I do think we'll see a rally to kind of close the week higher. I think we'll close the week at 36.8.
Okay. I'm going to put out a number. I think we're going to go a little bit lower.
Okay.
Say 33, 32, somewhere in there.
Okay. Yeah. I have no idea. We could go lower. I really... Seeing what we've seen in the past, like, this seems like a floor now, but that doesn't mean we can't wick below that, because that wick is totally possible, because you can have that wick within the monthly close and then still come back up. Because the monthly close, we got till the 31st. It's only the 22nd, so we got 9 more days. So we could see, I mean, like I said, when we look at this back in July, we wicked as far down as 28.4. Will we go that low again? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. Interesting times.
For sure. And I mean, in this, this is either going to, the Fed's either going to have to just back off and let the markets kind of throw their fit, or they're going to have to raise interest rates and make them go through hell, which wouldn't be a bad thing. That's really what we need. And let them kind of adjust to the new, what they want to do, right? So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. We'll have to see how it plays out, but I'm curious. Like I said, I want to buy more at this level for sure.
For sure. I've been
talking about that with Chris, and because he was talking about it too. And I was like, he's like, oh man, it's going down. I'm like, I want to buy. Like whenever you, because even whenever we hit 3,000 back in the beginning of the pandemic, right? In 2019 in March.
Yeah.
When it hit 3,000, I mean, I didn't have a whole lot of cash at the time to put in, but I put in like $500. I'm like, boom, I'm buying. There's no way that I was going to let that pass up. I mean, like that was, yeah, I'm like, heck yeah. You don't see it on sale that often like that. So
no, that was the last real on sale. And we're talking 30,000 being on sale versus three.
Yeah.
It's a whole different market now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Anyways, but that's all I've got. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to cover. There's not a whole lot of other news. There was a couple things that I looked at, and it looked like El Salvador did buy 410 more Bitcoin during this most recent drawdown, which, I mean, is not a lot, but at the same time, for a country as small as El Salvador, that's pretty big. And, I mean, it's just these people are just like, man, this is what we believe. This is what's going to happen. And I think El Salvador showed that they have 4 million people signed up on the Chivo app, which is their Bitcoin app. And that's on a population of 6.8 million. And that includes all the children and everything else. And I think you have to be over 18 to be able to use the Chivo app. So they've got people using it.
We'll see. That's awesome.
We'll see as it continues. I mean, and I'm good for them, man. That's awesome. I personally don't like to spend my Bitcoin in that way, but if it's better for them, then do it. But
I think once they start using it, they're going to be ahead of the curve, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The quicker they can adjust to it, the better off they are, I think. And maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe I'm just an asshole and this is all just a Ponzi, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
Feels like.
Well, the one thing though is the Fed coin, they didn't mention that they are looking to get into that space. And we know that that stuff is the kiss of death. They will be able to regulate that like nobody's business. They will take their taxes out whenever they want to. Mm-hmm. It's
at that point, you really won't need either a bank. You'll have a direct wallet to the Fed, right? They'll be able to inject stimulus wherever they want it to go. Like, I mean, they'll be able to do whatever.
Yep.
And at the same point, like, I mean, if you piss them off, they can completely cut you off if we get that social credit system in place.
And I think that'll be all tied together.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I mean, and that was one of the things whenever, like I said, I don't like to get political, but whenever Trump got banned on Twitter and Facebook, all those different platforms that he had, right? Like when he got banned all the way across the board, and I sat there and it wasn't even the political issue. It was like, if they can silence people like that, I mean, imagine when that's tied in with your bank account and all this other stuff, right? Because the Fed is a private company, basically. Think of it however you want. It's not government. They can do whatever they want to at that point if they give them that much power. And if they want to turn you off, you basically don't exist at that point.
Yeah, I mean, they did it to a sitting president.
Yeah.
I mean, he was on his way out, but that's still pretty insane.
That's still insane. And that's the thing is that people are just like, well, we don't live in that sci-fi dystopian world that you're thinking of. I'm like, well, we're getting close.
No, it's that reality is a lot closer today than I think in our lifetime. Yeah. Or at least it felt that way after, you know, last year, after the January 6th stuff.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, I know we had said we wanted to talk about the metaverse, but we'll have to talk about that next time. The market's been too much of a too big a news, too big of a sale going on. So
indeed,
we'll talk about that next time, but and maybe we'll talk more about Bitcoin. Who knows? Maybe it depends on what Bitcoin does. Maybe I'll be, you know, flipping burgers at McDonald's again.
As long as you're not at the truck stop anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the worst way to respond to that one.
Mm-hmm. Mm, girl. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Peace out.
Bye.